The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Where will you be on January 1st, the year 2000? What do you expect will happen? Will it be business as usual, at least until the weekend is over? Or will there be power failures, great natural disasters? Will the end of the world come? Will Jesus Christ return in the year 2000? There's one book that can answer the most important questions of all, and that's the mysterious book of Revelation in your Bible. Believe it or not, the book reveals the troubling times ahead and the glorious future to follow. What does the book of Revelation reveal? Will the earth be destroyed, or will it survive? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames explains the last seal of Revelation. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. In just a few months, millions of people will be celebrating the year 2000. Some have planned for a great time of parties and festivities. Others wonder if the end of the world is coming. Will we see more earthquakes and volcanic eruptions? Many are in a survivalist mode. They are storing up hard currency, food, and water. Others are planning religious pilgrimages to the holy sites in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and Nazareth. Just how do you prepare for such an uncertain future? On today's program, we'll continue our study of one of the most important sources in the world and in the history of the world that reveals future events in startling detail. That source is the Apocalypse, or the Book of Revelation, in your Bible. This is the last book in your Bible. It's considered an enigma by some. Even the famous Bible commentary, the Adam Clark commentary, found difficulty in making any sense of it. Adam Clark wrote, "I had resolved for a considerable time not to meddle with this book, because I foresaw that I could produce nothing satisfactory on it." Well, you can understand the book of Revelation. There are many different and unusual symbols in the Apocalypse, but there are several principles that will help you to understand it. One is that the Bible interprets the Bible. Listen to this comment from the NIV Study Bible. "Revelation is apocalyptic, a kind of writing that is highly symbolic. Although its visions often seem bizarre to the Western reader, fortunately, the book provides a number of clues for its own interpretation. For example, stars are angels, lampstands are churches, chapter 1, verse 20. The great prostitute, Revelation 17, verse 1, is Babylon, or is it Rome?" Another principle for understanding the book of Revelation is to understand the source. Notice Revelation, the first chapter, and verse 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him." Since Jesus is the revelator, we can expect that he himself will reveal some of these mysteries, and he'll reveal the symbolism of the book. We discussed that in our previous program. We saw that the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse, for example, described in the sixth chapter of Revelation, are interpreted by Jesus in the Olivet Prophecy. The Olivet Prophecy is a foundational prophecy given by Jesus in Matthew, the 24th chapter, Mark, the 13th chapter, and Luke, the 21st chapter. I encourage you to read all three of these chapters. It'll give you a sobering and yet realistic perspective on the times ahead. In the Olivet Prophecy, Jesus warns us of false messiahs and religions. Thus, as we saw last time, he interprets the first horseman of Revelation as false religion, false Christs. Then Jesus warns of wars, famines, and pestilences, and they're symbolized by the remaining three horsemen. The Apostle John sees in vision the scroll of Revelation sealed with seven seals. Only Christ is worthy to open the scroll. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are the first four seals. Seal number 5 reveals a martyrdom of saints, an intense religious persecution. At the same time, Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, starting with verse 21, there would be great tribulation, and that tribulation could bring an end to all life on the planet. The sixth seal is the heavenly signs, which introduce the all-important prophetic period known as the Day of the Lord. Simply stated, the first seal represents false religion. The second seal represents increasing warfare. The third seal represents famine. The fourth seal represents pestilence and death. The fifth seal represents tribulation and religious persecution. The sixth seal represents heavenly signs. And the seventh and final seal represents the Day of the Lord. Critics say there's always been war, famine, and pestilence. But we'll see the four horsemen intensify their ride with increasing global impact as time goes on. You may have seen a report by Munich Reinsurance, which monitors global damage brought about by natural disasters. They reported that in 1998, 50,000 people were killed in about 700 catastrophic natural disasters. Munich Reinsurance reported, quote, comparing the figures for the 1960s and the last 10 years, Munich Re has established that the number of great natural catastrophes was three times larger and cost the world's economies after adjustment for inflation nine times and the insurance industry 15 times as much. Dr. Gerhard Birtz, the head of the Geoscience Research Group of Munich Re, gave this assessment of future natural disasters. Quote, a future advance in man-made climate change will almost inevitably bring us increasingly extreme natural events and consequently, increasingly large catastrophic losses. Some may say this is just part of another cycle, but the evidence indicates increasingly frequent and more damaging events. You need to be watching world news and keeping spiritually alert. Now let's pick up the story with the heavenly signs, the sixth of the seven seals. Revelation 6 and verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Not only will asteroids and meteorites frighten people, but massive earthquakes will shake the earth. As the Apostle John saw in vision, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. If you've ever experienced a strong earthquake, as many of us have here in California, you know just how frightening it can be. Your knees and legs feel as weak as water, even if you haven't been seriously injured. Almighty God will get the attention of rebellious humans through these earthquakes and heavenly signs. The Creator God tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 26, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Obviously, it would be better for all of us to repent and humble ourselves before God now, rather than having to be shaken for our rejection of the Creator and His way of life. Yes, the great men of the earth will flee in terror. As they say in Revelation 6 and verse 16, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Yes, the heavenly signs warn us that the day of God's wrath is about to begin. The day of God's wrath is the seventh seal, the last seal of Revelation. It is also the day of the Lord. Now, just before the day of the Lord begins, thousands of individuals are set apart to be protected from the judgments of God. You will want to be among them. Be sure to read the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, which gives you that information. Now, to help you in your study of the apocalypse, the book of Revelation, we'd like to offer you a free audio cassette entitled The Day of the Lord, Part 2. This audio tape discusses the important end-time events described in the book of Revelation. It'll give you insight and understanding about the Day of the Lord and the sequence of major prophetic events. You'll find this audio cassette extremely helpful in your study of that mysterious book in your Bible, the book of Revelation. Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. There's no cost or obligation. This audio tape will give you the prophetic framework we've discussed on the program today. You need this information. Request your free audio cassette entitled The Day of the Lord, Part 2.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
In the first part of our program, we saw that the day of the Lord is the day of God's wrath on a rebellious world. The heavenly signs feature gigantic earthquakes and frightening activity in the heavens. But God will protect His servants from the seven trumpet plagues that comprise the seventh seal, also known as the Day of the Lord. We've seen in our study of this mysterious book, there are three major prophetic events that give us a framework for understanding the events of the book of Revelation. They are, number one, Great Tribulation. Number two, Heavenly Signs, or the sixth seal of Revelation. And number three, the Day of the Lord, or the seventh seal of Revelation. The book of Revelation reflects the number seven several times. There are seven seals. Now, let's focus on the seventh or last seal of Revelation. The seventh seal, or the Day of the Lord, is comprised of seven trumpets. And the seventh trumpet represents the seven last plagues. We'll discuss those later. Turn in your Bible to Revelation, the eighth chapter. Here, the seventh seal is open. And we find that the seventh seal of Revelation, the Day of the Lord, comprises seven trumpet judgments or plagues. Revelation 8 and verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. There are earthquakes. Vast areas of vegetation are burned up. A third of all sea life dies. Water aquifers are poisoned. The heavens are darkened. The last three trumpet plagues are called woes. The word woe is an exclamation of grief. Revelation 8 and verse 13. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. The first woe, or the fifth trumpet plague, is described in chapter 9. The fifth angel sounds a trumpet that begins a military action that lasts 5 months. The second woe, or the sixth trumpet plague, is pictured with symbols of horses and horsemen. Here we see an intense military counterattack. Revelation 9 and verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, Release the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. An army of 200 million drives west across the Euphrates River and destroys one-third of the earth's population. Revelation 9, verse 15. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. This phase of World War III will kill billions of humans. Yes, Jesus said that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Otherwise, all life on earth would be destroyed. Next, we hear the sound of the seventh trumpet. For Christians, the sounding of the seventh trumpet is good news because it announces the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth and the return of Jesus Christ. We all need to be preparing for that time. Revelation, the 11th chapter, and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." The one-year period of time called the Day of the Lord culminates in the glorious announcement that Christ is taking over all the kingdoms and governments of this world. That's the good news we all look forward to hearing. But the seventh trumpet is also called the third woe. Why? Because it also signals the seven last plagues. This is an intense fulfillment of the day of God's wrath, an intense fulfillment of God's judgment on the rebellious nations. Revelation 15 and verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. You can read these descriptions of the plagues in the 16th chapter of Revelation. They include plagues of painful sores on those who have worshipped the beast power and worshipped the image of the beast. They include even more poisonous rivers and seas to the extent that, quote, every living creature in the sea died. And that's stated in Revelation 16 and verse 3. The sun becomes hotter, resulting in extreme heat waves that torment those who will not repent of their sins. The sixth angel then pours out his bowl of plagues. Turn in your Bible to Revelation, the 16th chapter, and verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Notice that the beast, the prophesied European superpower, or the resurrected Roman Empire, will move into the Middle East, and the kings of the East, who would be normally fighting against the beast power, also move into the Middle East. But instead of fighting one another, they join ranks to fight against an invader from outer space, Jesus Christ. Read verse 16 of Revelation 16. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. The name Armageddon comes from the Hebrew Har Magadon, which means the hill of Megiddo. Megiddo is located in modern Israel about 55 miles north of Jerusalem. The hill, or Mount of Megiddo, overlooks the largest valley in Israel, the Plain of Esdraelon, or the Valley of Jezreel. In northern Israel, on the Plain of Jezreel, will be gathered the massive military power and might. These armies will actually fight against the commander of heaven's armies, Jesus Christ. Turn to Revelation, the 19th chapter in your Bible. Revelation 19 and verse 11. The Apostle John writes, Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Christ returns to this earth, he'll judge and conquer all his enemies. These are the enemies of peace. These are the enemies of Christ. And these powerful armies are influenced by fallen angels or demons. We saw that in chapter 16 and verse 14. John continues to write in Revelation 19, verse 19, "And I saw the beast, that is the prophesied military dictator, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him," that is against Jesus, "who sat on the horse and against his army." These armies are gathered at Megiddo to make war against Christ and his returning army. The war or battle is called the battle of the great day of God Almighty. But where will the battle take place? The prophet Joel tells us that the climactic battle will take place near Jerusalem. Let's turn to Joel, the third chapter. Joel 3, verse 1. "For behold, in those days and at that time, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there." The valley of Jehoshaphat, or the Kidron Valley, is located between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. The world's armies will move southward from Megiddo to fight Jesus Christ at Jerusalem. The great climactic battle of all ages will decide whether the Creator God will prevail or whether puny humans will conquer God. Foolish generals and egomaniacs are going to quickly learn how powerless they are against the omnipotent divine power of God. Listen to the results in Zechariah, the 14th chapter. Zechariah 14 and verse 2. "For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem." Then verse 3. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Yet in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." Notice the horrible punishment that will be wrought on those rebellious evil armies. It's described in verse 12. "And this is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongue shall dissolve in their mouths." Jesus will totally conquer the greatest military combine ever assembled. He'll return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to bring this war-torn planet 1,000 years of peace. As it states in Zechariah 14 and verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." All nations will experience a total re-education process. They'll come up to Jerusalem, the capital of the kingdom of God, every year to worship the divine king. Zechariah 14, verse 16. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Yes, the gospel means good news. And the good news we all yearn for is a world at peace under the rulership of the King of Kings. Now, as we've pointed out before, the saints, faithful Christians, will be glorified, and they'll rule with Christ as kings and priests on the earth. We've read that in Revelation 5 and verse 10. Peoples all over the earth will yearn and will learn the way of peace, love, and healing. But that's not all. After 1,000 years of the kingdom of God on earth, there'll be a great resurrection to judgment. It's described in Revelation, the 20th chapter, starting with verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." At that point in the plan of God, everyone will either be a glorified, immortalized child of God or burned up as ashes, and that's pointed out in Malachi 4 and verse 1. They will be dead for all eternity. Then notice the glorious future God has in store for us in Revelation, the 21st chapter. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. When you really come to understand the Bible, and particularly the book of Revelation, you can begin to understand and see the great, awesome purpose for your life and for everyone on earth. The book of Revelation is one of the most important books on earth. It's the last book of the Bible, the last book of the New Testament, and yet it opens our understanding to the beginning of a glorious future. There will be challenging days, months, and years ahead as we prepare for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Remember the description of Armageddon in Revelation, the 16th chapter? We skipped over one important verse. The Revelator, Jesus Christ, tells us in Revelation 16 and verse 15, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We need to be spiritually prepared, spiritually clothed and alert. We'd like to help you in your study of the Bible and the book of Revelation. Our free audio cassette entitled The Day of the Lord Part 2 discusses the keys to understanding the prophetic framework and events in the book of Revelation. It will also help you review major issues we've covered on this program and even more. Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. There's no cost or obligation. This audio tape will give you deeper understanding of the book of Revelation and the prophetic time period known as the Day of the Lord. You need this information. Just pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio cassette. Call or write today for your free copy of The Day of the Lord, Part 2.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
Next time, we'll discuss more challenging issues and vital topics from your Bible. We hope you'll join us again next week, right here at this same time.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579 or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.